Good morning, Delaware. It's another beautiful late autumn morning here in Delaware County. Nice morning today. So chilly, but sunny.
Mm-hmm.
Good one. So how you doing, Nicole?
I'm doing well.
Great.
I'm enjoying the light jacket weather. Mm-hmm. And we matched today.
Yes, we did. We both wore our county library shirts.
We did.
And our guest today is Molly Myers-Labady, who is the deputy director of the Delaware County District Library. Hey, Molly, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning, everyone.
Great. Well, thanks. Glad to have you here. Hey, we're going to switch the order of the show around a little bit today because, as they say in the news biz, we don't want to bury the lead.
That's right.
So we got an announcement to make. Unfortunately, given everything that's going on COVID-wise and just in the general environment we're in right now, we are going to have to go back to doing curbside and drive-through service at the library effective tomorrow. So what does this mean? So let's talk a little bit about what that means.
What does it mean, George?
Well, the first thing it means is that the buildings will be closed to the public again.
Right.
We will not be able to have people in the library to do browsing or to use the computers in the libraries. On the other hand, it means a lot of stuff doesn't stop. So you'll still be able to order your books online.
Mm-hmm.
You'll still be able to call in and ask us for help, or we'll still be using our new service about professional picks.
That's right.
Personalized picks, excuse me. You'll still be able to use all of our electronic resources, ebooks, databases, student help. All of that stuff will still be going on. You'll still be able to talk to a librarian, chat, mm-hmm. telephone, either way. The only difference is you will not be able to actually come into the building.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference. We know that. We're not taking this lightly. Are we?
We are not. No. I think that's a good thing for the public to know, is that we don't make these decisions just in a vacuum. We don't make them out of the blue. We have been watching a lot of things. We watch the governor's press conferences. We watch the numbers in our county. We watch the numbers in our surrounding counties. We look at what other agencies are doing. We look at what the other factors are that really contribute to our staff's availability to be part of our library.
Exactly. With the schools going back in a lot of ways to only online services too, we're going to have a lot of our staff are parents.
Yeah.
And they have childcare issues, which are covered by the Families First Coronavirus Relief Act. So mm-hmm. we have to make concessions and do things with the schedule. So again, we're short staffed there. We also have at least two staff members who are out on parental leave.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, the usual flu, colds, all of that sort of stuff that's going around at this time of year.
And then through contact tracing, other people who have been told that they need to stay home for 14 days. So
right.
It really, there are days when it's really a stressor to get our buildings staffed at their, even a base capacity.
A minimal level, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people who are working a lot of hours to keep the library going. A lot of public hours, which is, if you've ever worked with the public, you know that can be exhausting.
Right.
I do want to make something really, really, really clear, and that is we have had no cases traced back to the library.
No.
You know, we've been really careful about doing things like quarantining materials.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had a gentleman who wrote to me this week. He wanted to donate some books and couldn't understand why we couldn't take them. And he said, it has something to do with quarantine. What does that have to do with anything? And so I said, sorry, this was a misunderstanding. The reason we're told that this is affected by quarantine is because we've got nowhere to store donations now because we've got quarantine mm-hmm. materials all over the place, plus all the sanitizer and personal protective equipment and all that sort of thing takes up a lot of space around the library. So we and the friends of the library, God bless them, don't have volunteers coming in to the library right now to sort the materials. So it's a perfect storm of not being able to accept donations.
I know.
On the other hand, I believe Goodwill is still taking them for sales to help their clients, and there are other places that will even buy your used books. So
half price books. Call ahead and see what their rules are.
Exactly. Yeah, half price books is a place where I've taken books in the past when they threatened to like collapse my house.
Right.
So,
so I've been there.
Yes. So anyway, that's it's an uncomfortable thing to have to do. But
yeah.
The Columbus Metro is also on Saturday going to only drive-through service.
Right.
Westerville, Bexley, Worthington,
mm-hmm.
Most of the other Marysville, the other public libraries that surround us are in the same boat. We're all in this position where we're trying to ensure that we keep our staff and our public healthy as we can. And you know, the governor has asked people limit the number of trips you make. Keep things as simple as possible, and that's what we're trying to help do too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Molly, you have a group of, you call them your fiddles. Will you tell everybody a little bit about like what your fiddles are and how you guys communicate and what they do?
I'm happy to. I love my fiddles. The fiddles are the second fiddles. We're all the deputy directors. So we play second fiddle to our directors. And I've got a lovely group. We actually have one of my close fiddles groups. We have one of the directors even in. And what we do is we communicate and share where we are with everything.
Right.
We're sharing the newest research coming out on library items. Mm-hmm. We're talking about our staffing levels, how we can make sure that we're able to serve the patrons longer. So, you know, going to curbside now may make it easier for us to keep serving people. And I realize this is, you know, our struggles, we're not alone in it with the libraries. Talking about quarantines, how long do you quarantine? You know, what's the newest research? What's the interpretation of the newest research? You know, we also laugh a little bit. I'm not going
to
lie.
Every now and again,
we get giggly. You know, we watch the pressers together with DeWine's pressers.
And you play bingo.
We do. We play bingo. It's fun little things like if you've ever watched the pressers, you'll see DeWine's dog every now and again. That is a bingo square for me. That dog, I think it's Dolly or Holly. That dog is a darling little critter and just likes to just show up every now and again. You know, if DeWine says that Fran made his mask today,
oh my gosh,
that's
yes.
a bingo square. So we have a little fun because, you know, times are hard and we rely on each other not only for information and support, but laughter. It's how we've got to get through this right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I do it with you guys, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've got to.
Yeah, we've been known to have a few laughs, not at anybody's expense except
no.
our own.
Never.
Yeah. So,
well, maybe ours.
Yeah. The whole idea is, though, we all have these groups that we communicate with. We have a group called the Directors of Medium-Sized Libraries, which is a group of the libraries that are similar in size to ours, mostly either suburban or small city libraries around the state. There's the Central Library Consortium Directors Group that meets. So we're always running ideas among the groups so that we can make sure that we're offering a consistent level of service, but also that we know exactly what Molly was just talking about, what the current research is, and what the kind of the state of the art is.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of answers a question that, you know, so as the communications manager, I always kind of anytime we make a decision, I like to kind of throw back, you know, what's the press going to be asking? What's the contradictory statements? What's somebody else going to say? But what about this? And so what I kind of threw back is, well, but we just had the board kind of amend our policy decision that we made back in July. Back in July, we made the policy decision. Okay, if we're yellow, orange, we're open. If we're red, we're closed. Purple, we're closed. Then we made an amendment to that in October. We said, okay, if we're red, we're open. And now here we are and we're making this decision again. So kind of where's that come from?
Where it comes from is from watching what's going on around us. We decided that we would not be locked into the rigid color structure that the governor has done. It's a great, it's one data point among many that we use now to make those decisions. So we've been looking at the rising number of cases in Delaware County, the rising number of hospitalizations. We've been looking at, again, what's happening in counties around us in Union and Franklin and the other counties around us that where we both have staff people we have users who come from those counties. And so we're trying to make sure that we're not so far out of sync that we're going to actually act as a magnet to bring more people in. If we're the only one that's got the buildings open
in a 30-mile radius.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. we don't want to be we don't want the library to be a super spreader either.
No.
So we pay attention to those things. We're also watching the Delaware General Health District.
Well, who
website.
Has a new name now? The Delaware Public Health District.
Oh, I love the change.
Yeah, they had their groundbreaking just before ours, and they announced a new name change with it.
Yes, we will talk a little bit more about the groundbreaking before we break for our commercial. But we did want to talk about the health district has, of course, been a resource that we've used. The Ohio Department of Health, the Centers for Disease Control, the governor's office, I mean, and the Ohio Library Council.
Yes.
All of which have been providing us with information. Generally consistent. Occasionally, there's some things there where you have to make a judgment call. But we're using all of those data points to make this decision. It's again,
I've had patron staff feedback.
Exactly.
I've gotten a lot of feedback feedback from both our patrons and our staff, and we've taken every single piece of information seriously. I have a dry erase board in my office that is packed full of information we've gotten.
Yeah, if our live viewers could see Molly's stream on Skype right now, they would see her background, which is just words on a white wall. A lot of words.
Yeah, when Molly changed office, the only thing she asked for was a huge whiteboard.
Giant,
so,
yes.
Yeah, which she has.
We should have just gotten the, you know, there's like whiteboard paint. We should have just gotten the whiteboard paint. And
that paint is incredibly expensive.
Was it too expensive?
Yes, yeah.
Budget restrictions.
It was really hard to put up. I actually think it was the difficulty of putting up that I couldn't do it to our facilities team.
Real high degree of difficulty there. But, you know, this has been sort of a bad news, good news sort of week for the library because, as you said, we did have a really nice groundbreaking on Wednesday or for the new library.
Mm-hmm.
And it was much reduced. We only had 10 people there. But we had we also streamed it live on the Facebook. It's mm-hmm. available still to watch on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's very short. It's about a 20-minute all told. We had Michael Butler, who's the president of our board of trustees. We had Karen Cowan, who's the president of the Friends. We had the mayor of Powell, Mr. Frank Pertone.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had proclamations from the county commissioners, from Representative Troy Balderson's office, and from Senator Brenner's office,
mm-hmm.
which were all very nice, very supportive of the new library. And so we had, nine of us broke ground. We had the architect there. We had a representative from the construction manager.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a lovely ceremony. We would have loved to have had, you know, a couple of hundred people there, had some refreshments, aww, maybe a little music.
Don't make me cry. It's my dream.
Back to the, for the, some schnapps. Some schnapps and strudel. Anyway. yes, my young Frankenstein reference for today's show. We will do that when the library opens. We're going to talk a little bit about some stuff from the Friends of the Library in the second half of the show. And the Friends are already planning, and I know Nicole and the team are all planning what we're going to do for the grand opening in this library. And because the groundbreaking had to be sort of subdued, we're going to just go all out for the grand opening.
Don't tell that to the Friends, because when you tell them to go all out, I mean,
I know we're going to have,
they go all out.
We'll have
Karen Cowan, the president of the Friends of the Library, specifically said in her speech that she's not even going to call our grand opening an event. She said it might be a 1 or 2 month celebration. So we love Karen.
And you know, if Karen has anything to do with it, that is exactly what it's going to be.
Right.
So, anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about some things we're reading and a couple of things that we're still doing at the library, even though the buildings are not going to be open. But you stay tuned and we'll be right back. Is there a more onomatopoeic word in the English language than drizzle?
Oh, personally, I really like buzz.
That's very good. Yes.
Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz.
Anyway, so Molly, what's your favorite onomatopoeia? That's good.
Now I have to think about it. I think it's maybe plethora.
Plethora.
To me, it sounds like
that's a fun
plethora
word
of things happening.
That's a fun word to run off your
list. Ooh, I like, I mean, and this isn't a, I don't know if this is technically an onomatopoeia, but I really like cacophony.
Yeah.
Cacophony is
like
a good one.
Yep. Too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Words.
Words,
oh,
yes.
Love words.
Love words.
So much. So librarian.
So what's your excuse?
Well, as I work there 10 years and you pick up some of the things of the trade.
Funny, I don't think that's my strength as a librarian. So.
Words.
I just fall right into, I want other people's words, not my own.
There we go. Yeah.
All right. So let's do what we usually do in the first half of the show and talk about things we're reading or listening to or whatever. So what do you got, Nicole?
Oh, that makes me happy.
Yes.
Well, and today's subject that I have to talk about makes me incredibly happy because so you'll hear us talk on the show a lot about Goodreads. Goodreads is a website and an app. You can make an account. You can connect it to whatever, your Google, your Facebook, or just make an account with its own login. And it's a way for you to track what you're reading. So if you're an avid reader, maybe even if you want to track like what you're reading with your kids, because there are lots of different lists and lots of different ways that you can categorize the books that you've read, you can use Goodreads. And so then you can rate it. You can give it, you know, 5 stars, 1 star, or you can just say, I read this. You know, it's up to you, however you want to use it. But what Goodreads does is they have a voting this time of the year for the Goodreads Choice Awards. And so right now, the Goodreads Choice Awards is in its final round of voting. So if you are on Goodreads, you can go ahead and create a profile or log into your profile and vote. And I always like to get all the picture books and see what the best of the best of the picture books that came out in 2020 were. So this
I
year...
I love the one on top. The picture on top is just great.
Is called The Serious Goose. And it's written by Jimmy Kimmel. And it's so cute. It's a very serious story about a very serious goose. And it's not a silly story. And let me tell you, this book is one big pun because at the end, guess what the goose actually is?
What's that?
A silly goose.
This
is a really cute story. It's real. I can imagine it in story times. I can imagine it reading it with little kids at home. I read it to my two-year-old last night, and there's a mirror at one point in the book because, you know, you really have got to try to get this goose to smile. It's like, don't make that goose smile. Don't you dare make that goose smile. And then it's got a mirror at one point.
So you can make a funny face?
In the book, so you can make funny faces, yeah. And seeing your funny face just might be what makes that goose crack. Kelly on our show before has read Don't Eat Your Classmates.
Oh, yeah.
Dinosaurs Don't Eat Our Classmates.
Yeah.
This one is another one by Ryan T. Higgins, and it's called We Will Rock Out Our Classmates.
Whoa.
So it brings the dinosaur back into the classroom, and the dinosaur is going to play some rock and roll.
How does he play the guitar with those tiny little arms?
Well, he just has to figure it out.
I would think of him as more of a ukulele guy.
This is, you know, life lessons, okay? It's getting around stumbling blocks. Okay, this one is super fun. This one, I think, is one of my favorites that I read. It's by Lindsay Ward, and it's called This Book is Gray. And if you're a fan of the Day the Crayons Quit, if you have a little one who you're trying to teach crayons to or teach colors to, this is a really fun one. But the thing that is really exciting about it is Lindsay Ward gives each of the crayons a very specific tone. So it starts out in the beginning and they're all coloring around the rainbow, and you hear the red says, "Hey, there's no gray in the rainbow," and then gray pops in, "But I just want to help." And yellow has a very like high ponytail, and she's like, "Well, like this book is colorful, okay." And then blue comes in, he's like, "Sorry, dude, maybe next time." Like, when I was reading it, I gave them all like California kind of voices, like if you know the Californians on SNL, like that's kind of where I was channeling my characters. So it's really fun. But Gray just gets mad because the rest of the rainbow colors leave him out. So he's like, "I'm going to make an all gray book. And then y'all are going to be so sad because it's awesome." And then they keep coming in and be like, "Dude, where's the colors?" So that's a really fun one.
Okay, but that one's only good if you come to our house and read it.
I'll skip in. Yeah. So that one's called This Book is Gray by Lindsay Ward. This is a really beautiful one. It is written by Nancy Redd and illustrated by Nika Myers, and it's called Bedtime Bonnet. And the author and illustrator say that this is the only book of its kind that talks about the nighttime hair routine of African-Americans with African-American hair.
Okay.
And so they talk about the bonnet. They talk about the wraps. They talk about the curlers, the different ways. And so all it is it's basically saying, like, my brother twists and tightens his locks. My sister combs her hair in a swirl. Daddy has a hairbrush that makes rows of black waves appear. Grandma rolls up her hair into silver curlers. And her mom is getting her hair ready, but she can't find her bonnet. Uh-oh. And you got to have the bonnet because that helps her hair not to get any fuzz in it and not to get any lint in it and not to get tangles while she's sleeping. And so she's looking and looking and looking for the bonnet. And then just when she thinks that all is lost and she's not going to be able to fall asleep, somebody has the bonnet on his head who's being a little silly. It's Grandpa. Says, "Grandpa, that's not the bonnet that we're going to wear. I wear the bonnet." And then they wake wake up in the morning and they all have their lovely locks. But they say it's the only book. The author says this is a one-of-a-kind book that doesn't really talk about the nighttime hair routine.
Yeah, cool.
For African-Americans. Yeah. And then the last one that I'll talk about that I love so much is called Bird Hugs. This one is by Jed Adamson. It's G-E-D Adamson. It's called Bird Hugs. And it's about a bird who has very, very, very long wings. Like, imagine if a regular bird has, you know, regular wings. These wings are about four times the size of the wings. And so this bird, it doesn't matter so much when it's a baby bird. It even turns the book, you know.
Those are some serious wings, yeah.
Very long birds. Uh-huh. Yeah, very
look
long
like stilt.
Wings. And so it's not so bad when the bird's a baby because, you know, all the other birds are walking. The other birds haven't really learned how to fly yet. And so it kind of comes in handy. But when the other birds start to fly, the bird with the long wings is having troubles. It'd be a little bit difficult. So he kind of ends up feeling sorry for himself for a while. It's just not really working out. Do I tie him in a bow? Do I try and shrink him? Do I wrap him up like a scarf? Takes some time, feels sorry about the things that he can't do until one day the bird hears somebody crying in the forest and it's a big orangutan. Mm-hmm. And so he goes over to the crying friend. And he can fit his long wing arms around the crying friend.
Aww.
Yeah, so he gives a big hug with his big wing arms. And then...
I miss those.
Those are so sweet. And then the orangutan is so happy that, you know, the bird goes to sleep and is like, well, at least my wing arms made somebody happy today. He wakes up the next day. Everybody wants hugs because the arms are so good for hugging. And then because the bird is such a good friend and such a good hugger, it really doesn't matter if he has to fly anymore because then... he has all the friends that he needs and his friends, he still might want to try to fly. Let me see if I can get to the last page. But then his friends can help him.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, all those hugs, too, he'd build up the muscles. So
that's right. Yeah. Yes. So that one's called Bird Hugs. These are all finalists in the picture book category, and I have them all checked out right now. But I'll turn them back in, and now you can read them.
Okay, great. Molly, what have you got, and knowing that we only have 5 minutes left?
Sorry.
Okay. Many already know about. I'm reading Diana Gabaldon's Outlander, which Ooh. If you are going to be staying in for a while to try to, you know, help this series. Okay, so back in 1945, Claire Randall has just come out of the war. She was a combat nurse, and she and her husband are having a second honeymoon trying to reconnect. While they are in the Scottish Highlands, she ends up hearing a buzzing sound, goes to see what it is in the circle of rocks, and is yanked back in time to 1743, where she meets Jamie Fraser. And though she's married in 1945, that's a long way away, and she doesn't know if she'll ever get back. And unfortunately, through no fault of her own, she ends up married to Jamie Fraser. And then you get to start hearing their whole story. Now, the one thing I'll warn you is there are some body moments in this story. I just said to my nephew, and then I was in the midst of the book as we were driving, and he's like, Aunt Molly, I thought we couldn't listen to it because of his body. And I was like, yeah, well, we can hit pause. So I guess he learned that Aunt Molly needs to listen to her books as long as she can. So anyway, it's really fun. There are some parts that make me a little uncomfortable. I swore in the first book there was one scene I didn't think I could get past, but she left me at the end of that book on a cliffhanger, and I'm on the third book now, and I'm already getting ready to reserve the fourth. So it seems I got past that, though I still think about it. I don't want to give away what all is going to happen. So there's some things that may leave you uncomfortable. I haven't seen the show yet. I'm going to finish the series first. But I've been looking at pictures of the cast, and I think that may end up being something I jump into next.
Great. I've heard it's steamy. That's all I know about it.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
It is hot.
More than steamy.
Don't ever let anybody tell you librarians are boring. Okay, I'm going to pass on the book I'm going to talk about today because I want to talk about somebody instead.
Oh, yes.
And that's a friend of ours, literally a friend of ours, a member of the Friends of the Library Board, Penny Mong, is leaving the board after 11, I believe, years of service on the board. She has been a founding member of the board. Mm-hmm. She was there right at the beginning, helped work on the 2008 levy that got us the Orange Branch Library, helped us on the 2018 levy. She's leaving the board only because she's term limited.
Right.
And she's going to continue to be a volunteer for the Friends. But I thought I wanted to just say a few words about what a great asset she has been to the Friends. She's going to continue to work on our plans for the grand opening of the new library. She's also been instrumental in the young writers workshops that we do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She's the one who set up the authors, who's worked with Steve Harpster and gotten this going. She's been there for every one of these events. She has been just a tireless supporter. She was also the one who brought in Piper Kerman.
Yes. Kerman.
Mm-hmm. The one of the very first events when I got here was that
and I remember the day after Piper Kerman, or the night after Piper Kerman spoke, who was the author and story based on for Orange is the New Black, Penny said, "Don't ever let me do an author visit again." And yet, I think the next year she was planning another one.
Yeah, she's brought in a lot of really great authors, both adult and kids authors, and has been instrumental in all those things. So Penny has, because of the term limits on the Friends bylaws, she has to take a year off, which means she's just going to volunteer that much more. She's coordinated their volunteers and special events for all of this. So, Penny, I hope you're listening. I know she's a little laid up right now, but I know she's raring to get back. So we couldn't have done it without you, and I just wanted to say thank you. As I always thank the Friends for their sponsorship of the show, there are sometimes you just have individual people on there. You just got to say, way to go. And so that's what I wanted to say to you, Penny. Thank you. And so we are almost, is there anything you want to?
Yeah, I do have one thing. Even though our buildings will be closed as of Saturday, if you missed the first half of the show, go watch it on Facebook, listen to the podcast. We've got announcements, or check your email. But even though the buildings are going to be closed as of Saturday for people to walk in, we are still accepting the Thinking of You cards.
Right.
So the Thinking of You cards, if you go and you check on the events page on our website, it's something that we're encouraging anybody of any age to make a card, make a Thinking of You, make a holiday, make a, you know, I love you. I don't know. Hey, stranger, I love you. What we're going to do is we're going to collect those. So if you come for curbside, please just hand it to the person who, you know, does your curbside, or they'll have a bin or a bag or something for you to put it in. We're going to go ahead and quarantine it like normal. And then our outreach department is still delivering those. So even though our doors are closed, we are still accepting those. And that'll be what we do for that.
Well, that's great. Okay, good. Glad to know that. Thank you, Molly, for joining us today.
Always happy to.
Okay, great. And Nicole, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Gage, thanks for running the board and keeping things moving along nicely for us.
Sure thing.
And we will, I guess, see you in the parking lot.